tonight, Jacob Blake, in his own words,
I didn't want to be the next George Floyd. I didn't want to die.
Shot 7 times by police, now speaking out for the first time.
You didn't resist.
I resisted to getting beat on.
And the ongoing debate over equality in this country.
Black lives matter!
If you're a black person in America and you're not perfect, then they say, oh, it was justified.
Plus, shots fired. 2 cases and 2 different outcomes. What justice looks like in a divided America. Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. Jacob Blake is ready to talk. Almost 5 months after being shot and left partially paralyzed by the police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, here's GMA co-anchor Michael Strahan with Blake's take on what happened on that day.
Because I felt like I was dying. I was counting down the breaths. I was awoke the whole time.
It was the moment Jacob Blake thought he was about to die.
I was counting down my breaths and my blinks because I was just staring right at the sky, watching the clouds. I'm just like, God, I'm coming. I guess this is it for me, but it wasn't.
The 29-year-old speaking out for the first time almost 5 months after being shot 7 times by police.
You didn't resist.
I resisted to getting beat on. What I mean by that is not falling, not letting them put their head on my neck. That's all I was thinking, honestly.
Blake is now partially paralyzed from the waist down. A moment captured by bystanders, eventually going viral. The encounter, marking the climax of a summer rocked by a reckoning.
Say her name.
Protesters adding the name Jacob Blake to their rallying cry, joining those of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. With call for action echoing across America, from celebrities to athletes.
We are scared as black people.
Activists demanding justice for the ever-growing list of black victims shot by police.
I didn't want to be the next George Floyd. I didn't want to die.
In the moments before, on a hot summer day in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Blake had been celebrating his son Israel's birthday at the home of his son's mother, LaQuisha Booker.
He turned 8 years old that day. I'm cooking, just chilling, neighbors out, and ended up being an argument between my woman and the neighbor. I wanted to leave.
Booker didn't want him to leave with her rental car and called the police.
Today is his son's birthday, so I allowed him to spend a couple hours with him, but he's not giving me the keys to this rental, and that's all I'm asking for.
3 officers responded to what they thought was, quote, family trouble. Among them, 7-year veteran Officer Rustin Shesky.
Complainant says Jacob Blake isn't supposed to be there, and he took the complainant's keys and is refusing to give them back.
She decided that she didn't want me to take her car, the rental car. And I'm like, I'm explaining to her, like, you know, my truck is in the shop. So I decided not to give her the keys. It was in her name.
On the way to the scene, officers are told there's a warrant for Blake on domestic violence offenses and sexual assault.
We have an alert at this address for 99 for that subject.
What are you doing when they show up?
At that time, I'm walking out. I hadn't done anything, so I didn't feel like they were there for me.
Records show that Officer Shesky recalls telling Blake, quote, let's talk about this, as Blake places one of the kids in the car. He then tells Blake he has a warrant and tries to arrest him.
They didn't say why they were there?
Mm-mm. They didn't say anything to me.
Did they tell you that they had a warrant for your arrest?
No, I thought that it had been over with.
Police deploy a stun gun multiple times. Blake pulls the prongs out of his skin. Officer Shesky and Blake end up in a physical altercation on the ground.
We see you walk away from the officers after they try to grab you.
At that point, I'm rattled, you know. I realized I had dropped my knife. I had a little pocket knife. So I picked it up after I got off of him because they tased me and I fell on top of him. His is in there, probably face on the window. I'm about to get in here and check on my kids. In the video, you hear them saying, drop the knife. I think a couple people were saying that, but I didn't hear none of that.
Blake turns away from the officers and walks around the front of the vehicle towards the driver's side door.
What are you thinking at that point?
I had picked my knife up. I'm like, I'm not really worried. I'm walking away from them, so it's not like they're gonna shoot me. I shouldn't have picked it up. At that time, I wasn't thinking clearly.
You said that we can just look at the video. The video tells everything. Well, there are gonna be a lot of people who look at the video and say, in the video, you're walking away from the police. So why didn't he just stop and do what the police are asking him to do?
I couldn't hear that. All I heard was screaming, screaming. My ears was ringing, so it was all muffled.
If the police were fighting me, if they were tasing me, I would stop walking away from them, and they would have my attention.
And when they tased me, I had my hands up. So.
Officer Shesky's attorney insists, quote, the officers were compelled to use force once Blake began actively resisting their verbal commands, adding that the claim the officers didn't say anything to him during the altercation is, quote, preposterous. As Blake opens the door of the car, Officer Shesky claims Blake drove the knife toward his body. Blake denies this. Officer Shesky then grabs Blake by the back of his shirt and shoots him 7 times.
Put my hands up because I didn't want him to shoot me in my face or in my head or nothing. So at that time, I put my arms up, and he just kept shooting.
What's going through your mind?
My babies are right here, my babies. So after he stopped shooting me, I said, Daddy, love you, no matter what. It was the last thing I said to them at that point. I thought it was going to be the last. I thought it was going to be the last thing I say to them. Thank God it wasn't.
According to records released by the Wisconsin Criminal Investigation, in the past, Blake was arrested for attempting to flee police and for resisting arrest. These charges were dropped.
There are critics who are going to say, well, he's had run-ins with the law in the past. He doesn't deserve any sympathy.
If you're a black person in America and you're not perfect, then they say, oh, it was justified. It's like our children have to be angels.
Days after the video was posted, voices calling for justice grew louder. The city of Kenosha enraged. By day, peaceful demonstrations calling for the officers to be held accountable.
This country is kind of like a box of matches right now, and we're just the match that got lit.
By night, parts of the city brought down in flames. The riots turning deadly when armed vigilantes clash with protesters.
We're protecting from the citizens, and I just got pepper sprayed by a person in the crowd.
During the unrest, Kyle Rittenhouse, who was 17 at the time, shot 3 people, 2 of which later died. He was arrested the next day and charged with multiple counts of homicide. He has pled not guilty to all the charges, claiming he acted in self-defense. But now Rittenhouse, who's currently free on a $2 million bond, is making headlines yet again. Prosecutors are seeking to amend the conditions of his bond after images in the video surfaced last week. The photos show the 18-year-old flashing signs associated with white supremacists and being serenaded with a song allegedly associated with the far-right group, the Proud Boys. His attorney denies any association with these groups. Many are comparing the treatment of Rittenhouse's arrest with Blake's.
17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, he is accused of killing 2 people at a protest over your case. And he walks past cops, he has an assault rifle. Have you seen that video?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you see that, what is your thoughts when you see something like that happen?
Again, it wasn't a surprise to me. It was devastating.
Say it.
He's white. That's the difference.
There are 2 justice systems that govern America, one for black America and one for white America, which says, well, black people, shoot first, ask questions later.
Last week, the prosecutor declined to press charges.
No Kenosha law enforcement officer in this case will be charged with any criminal offense.
He said Officer Shesky was justified in his use of force because Blake was armed with a knife, refused orders to drop it, Officer Shesky's attorney, in a statement, insists that, quote, race had absolutely nothing to do with the officer's actions. Blake was given every opportunity to comply with the officers, and he repeatedly chose not to. Shesky and the two other officers involved in the shooting remain on paid administrative leave.
What did you expect when you knew that the decision was coming up on if they were going to file charges or not?
I knew they were engaging in the intellectual justification of discrimination. As Martin Luther King said in the letter from the Birmingham jail, just because you say it's legal, that don't make it right. I mean, Black Lives Matter, America, and we keep giving you exhibit after exhibit after exhibit, yet you continue to tell us that we're not worthy of equal justice.
Blake and his attorney said they plan to file a civil suit against the Kenosha Police Department. Almost 5 months after the incident, Blake says he is now focusing on healing.
Unfortunately, I need help all day. My mom, she's helping me get in and out of the bed. She helps me do a lot of stuff. It's changed 100%.
And we know your kids who are in the car. Have you had any conversations with them about this since it all happened?
When they seen me, they couldn't believe I was alive. My 8-year-old's just staring at me, you know. I've explained to him and broke it down to him, like, daddy can die, but for some reason I didn't that day.
Our thanks to Michael. Up next, the two investigations, how race, policing, and justice collided in one city.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more on the shooting, arrest, and unrest that shook Kenosha, Wisconsin, earlier this evening, I spoke with ABC News contributor LZ Granderson, ABC News contributor and attorney Brian Buckmeyer, and the president of Officers for Justice, Captain Yolanda Williams. Thank you all for joining us. Captain, I'll start with you. As police departments across the country look to change their practices, how could de-escalation have changed the outcome of this situation?
Well, I think de-escalation could have come into play because we could have had a utilization of perhaps some of the community members or neighbors that may have been in the area. We could have also considered contacting some mental health professionals to back up these officers or some other officers that may have been trained in crisis intervention or mental health training and development. So these are some of the things that we are now employing in SFPD. And we're finding that these resources have been extremely helpful to us in quelling down situations that could escalate and spin out of control.
Brian, the Kenosha County District Attorney has declined to press charges against the officer that shot Jacob Blake, saying that the officer followed his training. Why is it so rare for officers to be charged in these incidents?
It's rare because the law supports officers for the most part when it comes to situations like this. Now, an officer following his training, that makes sense from a civil standpoint, but the question here is whether or not use of force was appropriate or self-defense was appropriate. I don't see that applying here. I think the district attorney got it wrong.
And Brian, a follow-up, if I may. Kyle Rittenhouse killed two people and wounded another in the protests following Blake's shooting. How common is it for someone to be charged with a double murder to be out free on bond?
Being charged with a double murder is very rare. I mean, if you want to look at like the Ahmaud Arbery case where remand was imposed, meaning that they couldn't pay any amount of bail, that's typically more common for what we see of homicide cases, especially double homicide. The fact that he got bond, I think, is pretty peculiar.
LZ, once again, a study in contrast. When police officers respond to the incident involving Jacob Blake, he was shot seven times. Yet when Kyle Rittenhouse was walking around the protest afterwards, killing people, he was able to walk away from the crime scene, pass police officers, and drive home before he was detained. How does this illustrate, in your minds, the different ways black and white people are viewed by law enforcement?
Well, I think you eloquently just laid out the differences right there. I mean, the officers in Kenosha were in a hostile situation, and there's literally someone walking by them with a gun, and they didn't respond to him the way they would have if that person was African American.
LZ, Jacob Blake is not like the George Floyd case, right? This is a case with lots of gray. How much of this you think is training or race or a combination thereof?
I think it is a combination. You know, I've been on the police beat for newspapers around this country. I've gone on ride-alongs. I'm friends with police officers. I know it's a dangerous job. We all do. But that doesn't mean that you get to be judge and jury even if you feel you are being threatened. You still need to follow the law because that's a human life that you may be taking.
And LZ, a final question to you. You and I have talked about this over the years off camera. Two men of color who were raised, our parents gave us the talk. I know you have a son. What does the talk look like for you now in light of the Jacob Blake case and all the other cases?
Well, because of the pandemic, my 24-year-old son has been with me for, you know, much of the past 10 months. And every single time there is a video that comes out, we have the talk. And he respectfully listens because it's always good to be reminded, which is an unfortunate commentary because we're talking now generation after generation, which means the issue has been following us generation after generation.
And Captain Brian, final thoughts from you two about this notion. I mean, that you all, this is your business, but personally, how do you engage family and friends about these issues? First, we'll start with you, Captain.
Well, personally, I have several grandsons, and I speak to them on a daily basis about how to have an encounter with law enforcement and walk away successfully. And also to my fellow officers, I speak with them about the need for us to have a conversation surrounding uniformity in our training and the way we police in such a manner that everyone walks away safely.
Brian, we'll give you the last word.
Yeah, so I have a younger brother who's 20 years old, and I am literally his legal guardian. On my wrist, I have my tattoo, I am my brother's keeper. And after George Floyd, he called me crying, asking, how do I not be a hashtag? I taught my brother how to shave. I literally potty trained my brother as well. And it's heartbreaking that I don't have this answer as a homicide public defender of how he cannot become a hashtag. But we try to practice safe practices of de-escalation and still knowing your rights, but trying to come home safe.
Come home safe. Amen. Thanks to all of you. We'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally tonight, service before self. It's the split-second decision Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman looking to his left, a quick glance at the entrance to the Senate floor, then luring a mob of insurrectionists to the right, away from trapped lawmakers last week. Members of the House today introducing a bill to recognize Eugene's courage that would award him the Congressional Gold Medal for one of America's true heroes. And we salute Officer Goodman. That's Nightline for this evening. And catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.